Thank you so much. Jesus brought this story, it says, to show us that we should always pray and never give up. Amen. Jesus was always praying. When we look through the Gospels, we find Jesus praying all the time and in so many different situations. We see Jesus praying when he was by himself. We see Jesus praying right as he was going to be baptized. We see Jesus praying before he chose his disciples. Then we see him praying as he was leading and teaching his disciples. We see him praying before he raised his friend Lazarus from the dead. We see him praying when he was on a boat. And we see Jesus praying when he was on the cross. Jesus prayed all the time. So Jesus tells this funny little story, a parable, to teach us to become more like him and to do the very thing that Jesus was doing himself. ABP. Always be praying. Always be praying and do not give up. And so he starts with this funny little story. This story about an unjust judge who, it says, he had no faith, had no fear of God, and he didn't even care about people. I mean, this was not the judge that you want to stand in front of if you got a speeding ticket or something worse. Because he didn't care about God, didn't care about people. But this lady kept hounding him with her complaint, seeking justice. And of course, we find that this lady was coming and pestering him so much that he finally relents and says, man, she's driving me nuts. I'm just going to grant it just so she'll go away. And in the story, I think Jesus is doing this kind of fun little compare and contrast. And please see the humor in the story. You know, I think we picture Jesus as teaching his disciples. And, you know, and it's, I don't know, you know, it's, you know, like some famous old actor, you know, with the beard and very, very serious and you know, always just, no, I think he was teaching in such a way that his disciples were cracking up as he's telling this story. You know, they're laughing. And he gets them. And they come to a point of understanding about what it was that he wanted them to know. And in this case, to always be praying. But he tells them this very funny story about this judge that's being driven nuts by this lady. But it's a compare and contrast story. So in the comparison, of course, Jesus is comparing God to this crazy, unjust, or, you know, unfaith-filled, unloving judge. And he's making the comparison because he's saying, hey, if this guy is going to give justice, man, don't you think God's going to do it as well? So there's a comparison that God is going to bring justice if this guy would, certainly God would. But I am more interested, not just in that easy comparison, but in the contrast. Because I think in the nuance of this story, God is also showing us some differences between this judge and God. The judge was someone who did not fear God or care for people. No faith or no love. We could not find more opposite words in contrast to who our God is, who fills us with faith and reasons to believe, but also is so filled with love that pours out of him. And while the judge viewed the woman in the story as an utter nuisance to be dealt with, God, it says, views us in the exact opposite way, as his chosen people who he loves. We are his beloved. The Bible tells us literally chosen, adopted in to his family. And just like a good dad wants his kids to come and spend time with him, our Heavenly Father wants us to continually come to him in prayer. And I see something else that is a contrast within this story. The way that the judge was looking at this woman coming to him was more, I would say, transactional. Transactional. Like this woman keeps coming and coming and coming so much that it's just building up this pent-up tension in my soul that I've got to like release through giving her what she wants. But can I tell you, prayer is never transactional. It's never transactional. You know, people that might view prayer as like, well, if I pray enough, whatever that means, but if I pray enough, it's like I'm adding just prayers into my God account. And if I pray enough and get enough prayer up into this God account, well, then he's going to have to cash my prayer checks and like do what I want him to do. Prayer is never transactional. I believe that what God is saying here is that prayer is always relational. We are God's chosen people, adopted into his family, that he is our good, good father who loves us so much that he wants us to come and share every bit of our life with him through prayer. Prayer is never transactional. We can't pray enough to kind of get in his good graces or to earn his favor. Prayer is relational. We already have his favor. And so he invites us in to this continual dialogue. Always be praying and never give up. This theme that Jesus taught was something that was picked up and lived out by his followers. In fact, immediately after Jesus rose from the earth, went back to heaven, and his disciples watched this amazing thing, we read this, and it's in Acts chapter 1. And this is what it says. It says, then, right after Jesus had returned to heaven, it says, then the apostles returned to Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives, a distance of a half mile. When they arrived, they went to the upstairs room of the house where they were staying. Here are the names of those who were present: Peter, John, James, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, Simon, the zealot, and Judas, son of James. What does it say they did? They all met together and were constantly united in prayer, along with Mary, the mother of Jesus, several other women, and the brothers of Jesus. They caught it. Jesus not only modeled constant prayer, to continually be in prayer, but when he taught them and said, this is the way that you're to live as in a life of faith, they caught it. So the very first thing they did when Jesus returned to heaven was to constantly join together in prayer. And then over and over through the New Testament, we see this very same theme reflected again and again. Let me just show you a couple of the times that the Apostle Paul reminded his friends of his continual prayer for them. Here's a couple of scriptures that where the Apostle Paul mentions this. Romans 1, 9 and 10. God, whom I serve with my whole heart in preaching the gospel of his son, is my witness how I constantly remember you in my prayers at all times. Whew. And then he writes to the church in Thessalonica, and he says this, night and day we pray earnestly for you, asking God to to let us see you again, to fill in the gaps of your faith. Can I tell you that as a pastor, that my heart resonates with the words of Paul, that sometimes you're getting prayed for, you have no idea you're getting prayed for. Because I know that myself and Sergio and others on our pastoral team are lifting up our church family. You know, we have in the seat backs right there in front of you, you know, we've got our little connection cards and we're working to redo those to make them even better. But, you know, one of the ways that you can use those is to let us know when there's a particular thing going on in your life that says, hey, I need prayer right here. So we pray for you regularly, but we don't always know the issue that you may be facing in that moment. But hey, let us know so we can pray on target for what's going on in your story. But we pray for you. And I know that you're praying for me and my wife and my family and for our church family. Thank you, because we constantly need to be lifting each other up in prayer. And not only did they practice this, as the Apostle Paul was illustrating there, but they also taught it to the churches that they were founding and leading. There in your notes, you'll see 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 16 through 18, where Paul not only said, hey, I'm practicing this act of continual prayer, but I want you to do it as well. Listen to what he says there in 1 Thessalonians 5. He says, be joyful always. Pray how? Continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you. Man, maybe you're a new believer, or maybe you're even someone who is really brave and you came to church today and you would say, I don't think I'm really a person of faith. I'm still trying to figure this all out. But man, I'd really appreciate knowing something of kind of like, what would God's will be for my life? Here it is. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So Jesus practiced this. Jesus taught this for his followers. And then the church picked up on it. And we see it over and over again, is this theme that we are to pray all the time. Always be praying and never give up. See, I have the conviction that as we allow prayer to become so saturated within our lives that it just becomes the natural outflow of who and what we are in our faith, I believe this. I believe that it will revolutionize our lives. We are talking about learning to engage in revolutionary prayer. And that doesn't mean just the volume of our prayer or that we use the exact right words and somehow that makes it revolutionary. I believe that prayer can become revolutionary as we allow it to revolutionize our lives. The way that we perceive situations and that we invite God right into that moment. As we talked about the other week, that prayer becoming the collision point of our faith and our life. And as we continually see that happening and we engage in prayer, I believe it has the capacity to revolutionize our story and our circumstance. In your notes, you'll see a fill-in that comes next. And here's what I believe, that as we follow Jesus, that our desire is for prayer to be hardwired into our lives so that it becomes our default response, both natural and automatic. Let me just take a pause there for a moment. You know, one of the ways that I've read that they train the Secret Service to take a bullet for the president is practice, practice, practice. That they go through drills so often and repeatedly, even after they've been given the awesome role to, you know, protect the highest people in the United States, that they continue to practice. They drill all kinds of different scenarios so that it just becomes automatic. Because you wonder, how would anyone in their right mind dive in the way of a bullet to take that bullet? Because that is not our ingrained, natural, default response. When guns start going off and bullets start flying, we run for cover. Not the Secret Service. They run to the battle and dive right into harm's way, but it's because they have so trained themselves to do that that it has become their default response. Gun goes off, they dive in rather than diving out. Hardwired, a hardwired response that they have invited. They signed up for it. And they said, yeah, I want to learn to do that. See, I believe that learning to pray continuously, to always be praying, it's not something that comes natural to most of us. It's something that we need to invite and say, God, I want to learn to be someone who is praying all the time for all kinds of different things that I encounter in my life, so that it just becomes my natural and automatic response. And listen, this isn't to pat myself on the back. I've just walked with Jesus a really long time because I am old. And I was so blessed that my mom shared the gospel with me when I was really, really young, and I gave my life to Jesus. So I've walked with Jesus over 50 years. Can I tell you that there are times oftentimes multiple times in my week when I will catch myself praying. I didn't even like plan to pray. I'm just thinking about something, and then I realize, like maybe 30 seconds, a minute later, oh, I think I've been praying about this. Because I catch myself not just thinking about something, but that prayer has become something that has been so ingrained, kind of hardwired into me, that oftentimes, not always, but oftentimes it is the default. That I'll just be thinking about you, I'll be thinking about our church, I'll be thinking about our city, I'll be thinking about my kids, I'll be thinking about our finances, I'll be thinking about something going on. And I just realize that for those past moments, I've actually been lifting this thing up before the Lord. Having this collision point of my life and my faith in this thing that we call prayer. The end of that statement there. As life is happening in real time, prayer allows us to intentionally include God in all that is happening. Because that's how life works. It's happening in real time. This isn't a recording, right? Yeah, sometimes we can stop and we can reflect and we can pray about things that have already happened. But prayer needs to be happening in real time as events are unfolding in our story. And that, I believe, is kind of the principle of learning to pray continually. Always be praying. Never give up. So I want to talk for the next minutes and kind of go quickly through a number of different things about why this would be important. And then how do we actually do it? Like, if Jesus told us to always be praying, and if we saw that kind of reflected in the early church, how might we say, okay, I want to engage in that in my own life. How can I engage in this form of revolutionary prayer, of this praying continuously? Number one, why do it? Number one, I believe, is because the need is constant. The need is constant. It's why Jesus, in the Lord's Prayer, as he was teaching us how to pray, right in the middle of that, he gives us an immediate. Give us today, Lord, our daily bread. It's not just praying about some need from last year that I'm remembering, boy, I had a need. God, you know, thank you for showing up. That's cool. Or not even praying about our future. God, I'm looking at retirement. God, I need you to be there for me when I get there. Those are good prayers as well. But as we learn to pray continually, we're praying for the need that is right there in front of us in the moment. Because do you think that there's ever a time when we don't have some need that we need God's intervention in? Do you have life ever so wired, so figured out that you have no need? God, I'm all good today. Everybody I know is healthy. Everybody I know has enough money in their bank account. And God, even as I think of the world, man, I can't think of one place where there's conflict. When I think about our nation, God, I can't think about one thing that needs to be fixed. It is all good today. No. See, one of the main reasons why I think that God teaches us to always be praying is because the need is constant. There's always things going on. Now, we can't keep all of the world's needs like in focus 24/7. That might be a little bit impossible. Only God can do that. But he will bring things to our attention. He will call to mind certain things. I don't even always have all of my own or my family's needs in mind constantly. But then I get reminded by him of a particular need. Something that's going on where someone needs his resourcing. Someone needs his favor. Someone needs his healing. Someone is in need. I believe that God will bring us those reminders as we are attentive to them. Why is it a benefit to continually be praying? Because the need is constant. Secondly, this is something that we looked at in the past weeks, is that my faith fires need continual stoking. The fires of my faith need to continually be breathed on and fuel added to the fire, the faith fires in my own soul. It is so easy for my trust in God to be shaken if I'm not continually being reminded in prayer of what is true and what is real. I love what David writes in Psalm 118. He writes this and says, "In my distress, I prayed to the Lord, and the Lord answered me and set me free." Just take a moment to picture this. As we go to prayer, as we choose to have our life collided with by our faith through prayer in that moment, not only is God addressing that particular need and working on our behalf, but he's working within us as well. And I believe what we see written in this psalm is that God is beginning to remind David of these things. In my distress, right at that point of need, I prayed to the Lord, and the Lord answered me and set me free. But then listen to what he says. The Lord is for me. Woo! See that? He wasn't thinking of that when he encountered the distress. He began to realize and recognize that as he went to prayer, and God begins to remind him, I'm for you. I am not against you. Yeah, you're in a time of hardship. You're in a time where things are pressing in on you from all kinds of angles, but I am here for you. And he rediscovers that. Or I would say the way that we've been describing this is that the faith fire in his heart has been reignited, been stoked. The fire of his faith has been stoked as he was praying. The Lord is for me, so I will have no fear. What can mere people do to me? Because he is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He's got this covered. He's going to see me through. It's in the practice of prayer that I am reminded these three things. And you've heard these three things already in this series. But I am so convinced that in these three things that we see so much of the power and the beauty and the revolutionary aspect of prayer. But we're reminded of these three things. Jesus, you are here. Jesus, you are good. And Jesus, you are Lord. His presence, his favor, and his authority over all things. Every time we go to pray, we are re-declaring those. And I believe those are three primary things that we need to have those faith fires stoked in our hearts continually. Why? Because like David found out, life can be distressing. There are huge needs. The need is continual. And we can lose focus of who's in charge. But as we continually bring these things to the Lord in prayer, we are reminded in a beautiful and powerful way, you're not alone. Even when you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I am with you. We are not alone. God is here. Do we remember the beauty from Hebrews 11:6? That if we're people of faith, that we must believe that he exists and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. He is my rewarder. He is a good father. He is looking out for my best. He's good. And he is Lord. There is nothing too great for him. Listen, I need to be reminded of those things. And as I pray, I am reminded. Those faith fires are stoked when I pray, and I need that continuously. Third reason why I believe it's so important for us to learn to pray continually is because that this is actually a God-given assignment. We have been told this is what you are to do. So when we are not doing it, we are missing something that God has given. We just read a moment ago that this is God's will for you. This is his will. You don't have to wonder, does God want me to be praying continuously? No. Jesus taught it. Jesus modeled it. The Apostle Paul modeled it. He taught it. We see it reflected over and over. We know that this is a God-given assignment for people of faith to learn to pray continuously. So as we commune with God throughout the day, we are actually becoming obedient, following his instruction. How do I be someone who could just be more obedient to God? Learn to pray continuously. And in Romans 12:12, you see it there again. The word rejoice in hope, be patient in affliction, and to be persistent in prayer. This is a divine assignment that I believe that as we learn to follow God's will for us in this, man, that we learn the joy of walking in obedience to him. So let's just switch then from the why this is important to how it could even be possible that we could be people who would pray continually. You ready? Amen. Number one, pray all kinds of prayer. All kinds of prayer. In Ephesians 6:18, Paul used that exact language as he's talking to the church in Ephesus, and he says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions. There it is again, right? Pray continuously. On all occasions with all kinds of prayer and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. What a strong admonition to us that we in all circumstances would use all kinds of prayers to pray. So here's a clue. that I think we're given right off the bat of how is it even possible to pray continually? Oh, because there's all kinds of prayers. Prayer doesn't just happen one way. I don't know, maybe you went and saw that movie, War Room, a while ago, you know, about the power of like having this little dedicated space. You go into your little closet, your prayer, you have your prayer list there. You have maybe a little pillow. You get on your knees and like, okay, it's just me and you, Jesus. You know what? That's beautiful and it's powerful. That's one way to pray. But that's not the only way to pray, because you cannot pray that way continuously. You do have to come out. You do have to bathe once in a while. Hopefully bathe your children, feed yourself, feed your kids. I mean, there's other stuff that you can't just go lock yourself away and call that all good. To pray continuously means that we need to learn the beauty of what Paul's talking about here, is that there's all kinds of prayer opportunities, all kinds of different ways to pray. Now, I'm not going to get into a full disclosure on all the different kinds of prayer, because in 2 weeks, come back, you can get that message. Next week, we're going to be talking about what are the obstacles that we face in prayer. What are the obstacles to learn to pray effectively and contend continually in prayer? But the week after that, I'm going to come back with a whole message just on the awesome variety of ways that we can pray. But I just want to kind of stimulate your thinking in this right now and without a lot of time. But man, we pray prayers of thanks, where we just thank him for everything. Yesterday, man, I was just sitting out in my backyard, kind of putting on final touches to this message and his reading and just spending time with Jesus. Can I tell you, I don't think it got over 60 degrees yesterday, but it was a gorgeous day in Santa Maria. And man, I'm just sitting there, just so warm. And man, the trees in the backyard are starting to get these little blossoms on, and the sky was blue. And man, I knew Shane was on his way up to Santa Maria. We were going to get to hang out last night. And I was just so grateful. I was just like, Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you for the beauty of this moment. Thank you for the warmth on my cheeks. Thank you for warming my soul. This is a good day to be in Santa Maria. We can just thank him for so many things. Sometimes we just take for granted the beauty of the moment, and we just learn to thank him. Sometimes we pray prayers of love, worshipful prayers of our admiration for God. Lord, I just don't thank you for what you've done. I thank you for who you are. Thank you that you are my Savior. Thank you that you are the lover of my soul. Thank you, Lord, that when I'm not faithful, you remain faithful. God, thank you. Man, I just love you so much. Just worshipful prayers, reflecting our love. There's also the help me prayers. Sometimes we're in the middle of a situation and that's all we can get out. And God hears our cry. Help! Need a little help? Need a little help, Lord? He hears our cries for help. And then there's the fix-em prayers, right? Oh God, that thing over there is real broken. Fix. Fix what's broken. The people over there, they're all up in each other's business. They need your help. I just don't need your help, right? They need your help. Would you fix what is broken in my family, in my place of work, in my school, my friends, in our country, in our world? Lord, there's so many needs. Would you fix? Would you work on behalf of those? And then there's something that's so beautiful that is reflected even there in that scripture. It's about learning to pray in the Spirit. But again, we're going to talk more about that later. See, when we realize that prayer is not just one thing done one way, it just opens up the possibilities of, oh, okay, there's probably a whole lot of things that I could pray for throughout my day. Where it becomes the default. I read one person reflecting on this, saying that it's kind of like almost like having a radio on in the background. That there's this continual prayer that's going up. That as I encounter things in my day, it's just like having that music playing in the background. It's like always be praying. I'm just always reflecting back with God about what I'm seeing in front of me, both the good or the bad. Here's the second way that I believe that we can learn to pray continuously. And it's by developing prayer routines. Prayer routines. There are several different places in Scripture where we saw that the traditions of Judaism reflected in what have been called today in some religious traditions, what would be called like fixed hours of prayer or the divine hours. Has anybody grown up in a faith tradition where that kind of language is familiar to you? Anybody? Fixed hours of prayer? Is anybody in the room besides me heard of that? No one? Well, a couple people? Okay, you've heard of that, fixed hours of prayer. We actually see that reflected in Scripture. Not commanded, but reflected. We see it like in the life of Daniel. When you see that when you read Daniel's story and you see that there were certain hours that he would go and open up his windows and just begin to pray. But we also see it reflected in the New Testament. We see there in Acts 3:1 that right there, very quickly after Jesus had left and gone back to heaven, and the apostles are figuring out life, and it said that they were continually gathering for prayer. But it says one day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer, at 3:00 PM. And so even the early church had practices that were in keeping with their historic tradition. Now, you might find some beauty in that. I have some very, very close friends who grew up in traditions like I did, where that wasn't really the normal way that we prayed by like having these fixed hours of prayer. But I have some friends who have discovered the power and the beauty in their lives of learning to pray the fixed hours of prayer. And you can Google it. There are some cool resources. There's even apps on your phone that you can download to give you prompts and different things about praying at certain times during the day. But even if you are not to engage in something maybe that dramatic right away on your journey, there are certain normal times during the day when it could be really cool to develop a prayer routine. Three things that we do every day. One is that we rise. Another is that we lie down. And then in between, there are times that we eat. We don't often think of those as like routines because they're just kind of like what we do, but those are part of our routine. We can develop a prayer rhythm around those. That maybe as we rise, we begin to just talk to God about the day to come. And we start to talk to him about some of the things that may be pressing on my heart for this day. God, the things that I'm going to be facing this day, this conversation that I'm going to be having, this doctor's appointment that I'm going to be facing, this phone call that I think is going to come today. God, I need you to be right here with me in this. And I also know of some others, maybe in my church family or people I work with or extended family, that they're going through some things right now today. And then we eat, right? Some point, typically, unless we're fasting, there are times when we eat. I love the fact that when we pray at our meal times, it is not a formality. It is not some religious activity that somehow if we don't do it, the food's cursed and all of a sudden cooties jump into our food and we're going to get sick. I don't believe that. You know what I believe? Last night, Kelly and Shane and I went out to dinner and there was a bunch of people around. And you know, as the food came, we like prayed. Not just like one eye open, like, God bless it, you know. Make sure it's healthy. You know, we don't want to be embarrassed here. No, you know what we were doing? We were declaring as we prayed. Not big, didn't make a show of it. You know, we just did it. It was kind of private around our table. But you know what we were doing? Declaring, God, you're here. Right here in the middle of this restaurant with this glorious pile of carne asada fries before us. Loaded with jalapenos and so good. I'll tell y'all about it later if you're interested. But God, right here in the middle of this place, Lord, you are present here. Everybody here may not recognize that, but Lord, we know that you're here. And God, we also acknowledge that you are good. Lord, thank you for all that you provide, especially all that good cheese that's all over this. But thank you for providing. You are good. And Jesus, you are Lord. You're over all things, over all the earth. And every time we pray, we're declaring those things over and over again. And then we lie down at the end of the day. We would reflect back, say, God, this was a hard moment, but Lord, I'm learning to see you even in the midst of the difficulties. That the difficulties don't mean that you're absent, but that you're working something else out, either in me or in others. And thank you for the opportunity to grow through those hard things I faced. But Lord, all the times that were just beautiful and peaceful with the sun shining, the wind at my back, thank you for those as well. So we can build in prayer routines into our life, and it's not that difficult or challenging to do. We're learning about one of those as we participate in EHS, Emotionally Healthy Spirituality. Many of you are in that class right now. We've had over 100 people from our church go through that, and if you haven't been through it, get ready. This fall, we're going to be offering it again. But one of the practices in there is learning to take a daily time to be with the Lord, present with him. Can I tell you, it's about the beauty of learning to develop a prayer routine in our life. It's one of the ways that we learn to pray continually. Here's the third thing. That we can use every situation as something that I would call a prayer prompt. Like a reminder, a nudge from the Lord, any situation, any circumstance. I remember growing up hearing my pastor, Pastor Jack Hayford, say this, that it stuck with me. Even when I was a kid, this has always stuck with me. Now, this was before the days of email, okay? Long time ago, ancient history. But he talked about, he was kind of a really well-known leader in the body of Christ, and he was talking about, he'd get just a stack of mail every day, from this ministry, from this, and people presenting needs, and some of them needing money, and some of them needing prayer. It was like, where it could be overwhelming. And he kind of wrestled with the sense of like, oh my God, there's so much need. How do I bring all of these needs to you? And he taught me a really good lesson in that, that when he would take that envelope, sometimes he knew that he was not going to have the time or the resource to really thoroughly engage, but he would use it as a reminder to right then to stop for the moment and pray for that ministry, for that person, whatever the situation was. He just used it as a prayer prompt. Like a reminder from the Lord. Oh yeah, Lord, this person, they have need of you. Listen, you may not get a ton of physical mail anymore, but I bet a bunch of you get emails. Or a bunch of you are on Facebook or on Instagram. What about if every time you saw Joel or Veronica Adeola pop up in your feed or get an email thanking you for your generosity and helping support them on mission in Mexico, that you don't just say, oh, how cute, oh, look at the kids, they're so cute, they're growing up so quickly. But you just use it as a prayer prompt. Take that moment right then to say, God, thank you for bringing them in front of me right now. I lift up Joel and Veronica and Etni and Jeziel and Micaela and Eliana. I lift them before you right now. Lord, I don't know what they're facing, but you do. So God, I pray for our missionaries. I pray for what you're doing in Mexico. God, would you bring them favor? Would you protect them? Would you resource them with all that they need? And may many come to know you through this family that we love and support. Right? It's a prayer prompt, not just a cute little picture of their kids speaking in Spanish, right? Prayer prompts, every situation. I remember some things from my life. When I would drop my kids off at school, which was not every day, and Kelly probably did that more than I did as our kids grew up, but I did it a lot. Not just dropping the kids off and saying, see you later, but taking a moment, even when their friends were in the car, and saying, Jesus, would you watch over these kids? God, would you bless them? Would you protect them? Would you help them from any ambush of any kind? God, watch over these kids today. Then I'd say, see you later. Get out of here. Got to get someplace. But just use it as a prayer prompt. Dropping my kids off to school. Having a good day at work, pray. Having a bad day at work, use it as a reminder to pray. How about waiting in line? How about sitting in traffic? Now, I know we're in Santa Maria. Unless you're on, I don't know, Blosser at about 4:30 p.m., you're usually not sitting in a whole lot of traffic. But, you know, you stop at a red light and you're looking and you're seeing people cross the street in front of you. Or you're in line at a grocery store and there's people in your neighborhood and community that are right there in line with you. And there's a checker right there. Do you know the checker's name? Do you know the people in line's name? Well, you may not. The checker, you can probably figure out. They're probably wearing it. That's somebody in our community that you may not know. What if you just started praying for those that are right around you just while you've got that couple of minutes to wait? Just use it as like a prayer prompt, a reminder to always be praying. How about the news? Whether it's on the radio, whether you get, you know, a little bulletin on your email like I do, or a text, or, you know, you watch TV at night or whatever. What about using some of those things to actually prompt us to pray? See, I believe that as we just become in tuned to being someone who prays continuously, that there will be constant reminders. In fact, as I've just been speaking and looking around the room, I just see you in your beautiful, shiny faces. But I know some of you well enough to know some of your stories. Just being reminded, even as I've been up here speaking about things, people going through some relational difficulties, going through some physical challenges, going through some financial struggles. I'm you know, it's hard for me just to keep preaching and not start just praying. Because I just want to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and be reminded by him, hey, there's things that I need to be praying for. Always be praying. And then this last one I wanted to put in here because it's something that I have more recently been discovering the beauty in, and that is to learn the beauty of silent prayer. If you've yet taken our EHS course and started to learn some of this, then you've already been exposed to this. But can I tell you, I grew up learning to pray out loud or learning to pray, you know, that I could even pray internal prayers. Like if I could pray anywhere, no one could stop me from praying. I could be classroom at school or work or wherever or in the grocery line. I'm not talking about, you know, like, hey, Lord, thanks for that checker. These people I don't know, would you bless? Unless God tells you to do it. I was talking about praying internally, like your inside voice. I don't care, pray out loud. They'll think you're crazy, but well, they thought Jesus was crazy. No, but I'm not talking about just like literally using our words to pray, even if we don't use our vocal cords. What I'm talking about is literally being silent before the Lord in a prayerful, communing time when I am focused on the Lord and perhaps whatever situation it is that I'm facing. And that there is beauty in that, and there is power in just resting quietly in the presence of the Lord, and that we can literally pray silently. I am enjoying learning this practice. I did it this morning, sitting at my dining table, thinking about the day, thinking about being here with you and just breathing deep and just sitting in God's presence, reflecting on his love, reflecting on his beauty. I came across an author who has written a number of things on prayer beautifully, powerfully. Her name is Kelly Odell Stanley. You can look her up. She has a website where she has lots of really cool prayer articles and some resources. You can even get like a prayer prompt calendar that has all kinds of just great things to like trigger, like new ways to pray today, for things today. Just beautiful and creative. But in one of her articles on praying silently and learning to pray silently, I just want to read you just a part of this article because I thought it was just so fitting and beautiful for what I'm discovering in my own life. She says this: prayer, in its most simple definition, is communion with God. I often think of it as a conversation, but it doesn't have to be. And she asks this, she says, have you ever sat in companionable silence with a spouse, parent, or friend? Enjoyed a peaceful afternoon on the porch with a grandparent? No words needed? She says, when I gave birth to my children, I had no words to describe what I felt, so I just sat there looking at that beautiful new creation, soaking in gratitude. When my mom died, as I stood in the receiving line, some of my favorite people walked up, looked into my eyes, hugged me, and moved on. Without saying a single word, they communicated everything I needed to hear, everything they wanted to say. So she says, next time you feel stuck, when you stumble over words or are wrestling with emotions you can't seem to wrangle, why don't you try something new? Sit in silence, your mind focused on God. Learning the beauty and the power of silent prayer, quieting all of our racing thoughts, recognizing, Jesus, you are here. You are present with me. You are good. And over all the things that I'm facing, you are Lord. And then knowing that, considering that, sitting in your presence. Whatever you want to tell me, Lord, I'm listening. See, to pray in revolutionary ways, I believe that we need to figure out what the Apostle Paul was saying, is that we could pray in every circumstance using all kinds of prayers. Being prompted, reminded throughout our day by the Holy Spirit about things that we ought to be talking to God about. And sometimes just sitting in his presence, listening to him and meditating on him. I believe that when we begin to learn to live this way, where prayer becomes just hardwired into our natural responses, I believe that we are going to have lives that we would say have been revolutionized by prayer, and that we're going to begin to see things around us experience that revolution as well.